Blog Talk Radio.
Somehow the intro music is not working. I'm not sure why. But anyway, thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, psychologist and e-therapist. And welcome to those darn guys who happen to be therapists. I'm here with David Sanford, couples therapist, Dr. David Sanford, this morning. Hughescraft is off for today. And David and I will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before. Or failing that, hopefully, putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neuro Rehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. And there's a very special treat at the end of the show. So let's get started. Today's topic is marriage transformations. What happened to that person that I thought I was marrying? So what do you think's going on there, David?
Well, you know, some wise person, probably a number of wise people, said that the only thing you can count on is that there's nothing you can count on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything changes all the time, and marriage is certainly
right.
Fits in with that description of life. Marriage is change.
Right.
And I here are some possible changes to discuss. One theme has to do with expectations, particularly unexpressed expectations. And that one concerns the fact that people generally get married thinking that
they lost you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Jim?
I'm not sure. I'm not hearing David.
Jim.
Yeah, I know you're back. Okay.
I am back.
You're back.
Okay. Well, I don't know where you got to the point where you couldn't hear me, but I said that people get married.
Unexpressed or undisclosed expectations. That's where I lost.
That's right. I mean, that one transformation is, in a sense, not even perhaps an actual transformation, and that is that you get married in one condition that you think things are going to continue to be a certain way.
Right.
And then the transformation is your expectation was unrealistic, or it was not shared with your partner, or life intrudes in some way, and things don't go the way you had expected. So you get a transformation from a sort of idealized wish or picture into a reality, a lived mm-hmm. reality, and that, and sometimes that's quite a painful transformation.
Right. I think another thing that goes on is that people have some very ingrained and imprinted ideas of what marriage is supposed to be and how each partner is supposed to act. And when you're going through courtship, those you have different expectations of somebody that you're dating or somebody that you're with, but you have this picture of what marriage is supposed to be or what you're supposed to be, and sometimes it can be sort of an instant transformation of that expectation or that behavior once you get married.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
So we now have two possible approaches, and there are a whole bunch more. Shall we? You want to dig into one of those, or shall we
Let's start with, you know, just after you've gotten married, are there going to be any changes? The answer is, of course. You know, I think one definition.
Why do you say of course?
Well, your status has changed. You are in a now legal partnership. That could be good and bad. You know, you say, oh my God, you know, the marriage jitters kind of thing. What am I doing? What have I done? So that can happen. But you're in this partnership and you're locked in, and that can have positive ramifications and negative ramifications. Positive is, oh wow, I feel secure now. I can relax. I can be, you know, more fully who I am, because you know this issue of whether I'm really accepted, wanted. Somebody's made that commitment to me. And the on the opposite side is, oh well, now I've got this person locked up, and I don't have to, impress them anymore. I don't have to please them anymore. I think that can be, you know, a very big change that can be devastating sometimes in a marriage. I think you have to. I was going to say one definition of marriage.
Well, can I comment on that one, Tim?
Sure.
I don't know if you were going on to something else, but
I'm going on and on and on, David. I'm going on and on and on.
I need to be warned about that. Well, no, I discovered it on my own. You don't have to warn me. Okay, I'm going to say that I think that view that you have is most likely to hold true in the case of people, as in many traditional marriages or historically, people who don't know each other terribly well before they get married.
Exactly.
In other words, they sort of hide their shadow side, to put it one way. They sort of hide their shadow side from each other, and then the first transformation is into this realization that you aren't who you were before I married you. And I think we both heard people say that with great agony and upsetness in therapy sessions. You're somebody else now.
Right. I think the other thing is that sometimes people are in denial and they don't want to look at the other person's dark side or their faults, or, you know, nobody's perfect. And sometimes you want to believe that that person is perfect. And so you're in denial about those. And then they sort of raise their ugly head after you get married.
That's a whole subject in itself. You know, disillusionment. What illusion did you have? Sometimes those illusions are driven by need.
Right.
You know, you're getting older, you've got to get married. Or you're really psychologically terribly, terribly needy. You've got to have somebody. So it's in your, if either one of those realities is pressing upon you, you can't be too particular. You can't notice the kinds of possible danger signs that might lead you not to marry this person, because you've got your own reasons for having to go ahead and do it.
Right.
But what I wanted to say is that, unlike the kind of traditional marriage where people don't know each other that well, I think another phenomenon is when people have really lived together for 2, 3, 4 years before they get married. I mean, I know a couple that have children and are middle-aged and have been together for maybe 20 years.
Right.
Just never got married, and now they're married. So in that case, I would say the people who really know each other very, very well, know each other's dark side and selfishness and self-centeredness well, too. And that transformation, what do you think? That transformation is likely to be less severe,
right,
because they've been married in some sense already.
Sure. Yeah, I think the more you know about anything, the better decisions you're going to make, and the more you're going to realize the reality of the pros and cons in the other person. But back to my point a minute ago, I think I've even seen people who have lived together for 4 or 5 years and they've gotten married, and something dramatic changes because they have this vision, this view, this myth, this ingrained idea of what marriage is supposed to be. So So yes, much, much better the more you know about somebody. But still, sometimes it can be a shocker and a surprise. I certainly have seen couples in my practice like that.
Yeah, I agree. It can happen even when people believe that they're completely familiar to each other. And possibly, well, in some cases, the reason is that whether consciously or not, people hold expectations of what roles as husband or wife are. And yep. Those, if they're unexamined, those often come from your own childhood experiences of the roles that your parents were in.
Oh, sure.
So I have... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, I, for example, I know a situation in which, or I, as clients, I can remember one situation in which the woman was really a very entrepreneurial, independent, and successful in her own particular line of work. She was a professional person, and she was very accomplished, and she had a good deal of power. When she became a wife, however, when she became a wife, took on that role, the whole thing got rather crazy because she was still one person at work, but at home she was the wife, which means that she was deferential. She followed her husband, and it turned out on examination that she was the first woman in her family who actually had gotten an advanced education and attained a professional status, and that all the other women who were models for her, aunts, mother, I can't remember, but maybe a sister, they all kept to the traditional wife role. Right. And when she became a wife, she assumed that same role.
Right. I've seen the opposite too, and that is, I know a number of women, both as friends and women I've seen in my office, who are absolutely adamant that they are not going to be a wife, with quotes, you know, that they're not going to take on that role, and there's almost a reaction formation. It's like they go out of their way not to do anything that would have the taint of wifiness or wifeliness, and it doesn't become then a conscious choice about, okay, well, do you like to do this? Do you not like to do that? Or do you want to do that? Do you not want to do that? It becomes, I am determined not to get into what I saw happen to my mother.
And they assume the role now of the anti-wife.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Now, lest this seem to be biased, we can apply exactly the same thing to men.
Okay, go ahead.
Were you going further, or shall I go ahead?
No, go ahead. No, seriously.
Okay. I can remember one particular couple in which the guy was really a fairly lighthearted, wonderful to be with, sort of easy to get along with guy for his partner until they got married. And then he became the husband. And part of the definition of husband is that you have to be really, really burdened.
Right.
And no, we don't have any children yet, but we're going to have children. And they're going to have to go to a good university. And we've got to start saving money right now. You know, I'm sort of ridiculing it a lot, but I don't really intend to ridicule it.
Right.
Because
there's pluses and minuses. Yeah.
What?
There's pluses and minuses with that. I think that's what you're
right,
saying.
But yeah. As I'm putting it right now, the role of husband and the role of friend/lover and happy companion and best buddy or whatever you were with your partner before you got married, those roles are very different. This is a much more sober and serious role, the husband role.
Yeah.
And for the wife, and for the husband, actually, it can be pretty much a drag to be stuck as in playing husband.
Right.
And then father. and then that goes back, in the case of the particular person I'm talking to, that goes back to a real sense of how it was in the family he grew up with, and what and his sense from watching his father of what it is to be a husband.
Right. Right. Or again, like with the woman and the word wife, he may rebel against that. I'm not going to be, you know, burdened and whatever like my father. I'm going to, you know, insist on my independence and insist on freedom and spontaneity and all these kinds of things, which partly it would be great and is great. And then it depends on whether you do it to the point where it's, counterproductive or detrimental.
Right.
Hey, David, we've got a caller on the line, so let's see what they've got
Wonderful.
Terms of question or a comment. Hello, caller, are you there?
Jim, are you talking to me?
Hey, oh my God, David, David.
It's somebody with a Chinese accent.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi, Mark. Wow.
It's Mark.
This is Dr.
I know, it's a miracle.
And from China. Man, oh man.
It is 11:15 Monday night in China.
Wow.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, how are you having a good time over there?
Well, I was just listening to a moment of you guys chatting and thinking about the husband role, and I can tell you that if you are jet lagged and miss a couple of good nights' sleep, your whatever system in your brain controls husbandry begins to crack.
Sorry for that.
I think that's a good point. You know, there are stresses, and stresses change people. You know, responsibilities change. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. So it's been kind of an interesting trip. We got here a couple days ago. We spent some time in Hong Kong, and then we left Hong Kong this afternoon, and now we're in a town that's kind of we're in a little country place, but there's like a little town, and it's filled with disco places, which you can probably hear in the background, and bars. So everyone Chinese disco and bars, and everyone on a Monday night at about 11:20 is going at it pretty hard. it's pretty wild. So,
all right.
And our friend said, "What will you talk about?" I said, "I have no idea." the mere fact that I'm standing is a miracle. So, my God.
Well, that's what I love about you. You can you know, pick up on anything. You've got, you know, such a fun experience and knowledge.
What was the topic today? Husbandry?
No, the topic today was marriage transformations. Who is this person that I married? That's not the person I knew just a few days, weeks, months ago. There's somebody different.
It's, you know, we were, I'll tell you a funny story, that Nancy and I came to Hong Kong at the start of our honeymoon when we got married. And we stayed at the YMCA. And so today, that's how broke we were. But today we went to where the YMCA is that we were staying at, and is now surrounded by very high-end, expensive places. And so we're staying in a much, much nicer place than the YMCA. And it's just, it's sort of an interesting thing to sort of discover that 25 years later, you are, Hong Kong is entirely different, and you're entirely different, and the woman you married is entirely different, and, you have to sort of grow with that.
Right.
Which I'm sure David could talk about much more effectively than I can.
Yeah, and yet you're strangely the same.
Well, isn't that there is that way in which you're strangely the same, and yet.
What does that mean? What does that mean? from either one of you, what's strangely the same? Sounds mysterious. What does it mean?
Well, I guess the question is how you can be different and the same at the same time. And there's a way that that's true.
Yeah. Don't you find that, David, if you look back at your own marriage or you look at the relationships of the clients that you've had, the person you marry is exciting and fun and unknown and cool and all that sort of stuff. And then 25 years later, you've got kids or homes and careers, and some of the things that were fun aren't the same kind of fun, and, your knees hurt and your back hurts, and, it's really quite amazingly different, even though you are exactly the same in many ways. Yeah.
But you still have that twinkle in your eye, et cetera.
Yeah.
I get the amazingly different part, and I think that that's one of the sort of almost inbred transformations that is often difficult one to navigate when you're married, because you fall in love because you're in love with a person, and then you
mm-hmm.
marry that person, but then later on roles take over, so you're still that person, but you have a role. And you have certain functions that you perform that have to do with your job, but that have to do with what part of the responsibilities of the household you carry, and with kids and money problems and all the stuff you got to do. It is often very difficult to hang on to that specialness when habits and routines and roles intrude very strongly. Do you agree? Hard to hang on to that specialness?
Oh, I think it's amazingly hard to hang on to that specialness.
Yeah, right.
It's incredibly hard.
All right, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. I think that's one of the things, that's where the work is in relationships a lot, is to put in the time to do special things with each other, have special rituals, make at least the relationship special in certain ways, new and different spontaneous things, ways to relate to each other. The habits and whatever can be very comforting. Also can be boring, but to make special.
Well, I think that's very true. And a couple of minutes ago, we were talking. In addition to talking about transformation, we were talking about ways in which you have the strange feeling that things stay constant or the same. If two people who are living consciously understand what the pitfalls of losing each other are, and they're determined not to let that happen, and they still do the things that they've always loved together, they still take a walk in the woods in the same place, they still enjoy making love to each other, they still love the same kind of movies, that kind of thing. If they can do that, then the core of the relationship has a reassuring quality of staying constant. In other words, of being the same, in the sense that we've kept that inner core of mutual attractiveness, and energy and love between us alive.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you can manage the transformations okay, I think.
Right.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, it's when you get that slippage.
Yeah.
Having that solid core, then you can you know, really deal with the buffeting of the winds of change. If you don't have that solid core, then it gets shook up, and you've got to go back to see if you can secure your base there. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just thinking how true that is, and but also how difficult it is to maintain that sense of kind of I don't know what you call it, spontaneity, fun, enjoyment that that characterizes the early parts of relationships.
Right.
And you know, so that it does take that sort of constant effort to keep it new and fresh and renew it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark,
what
I know
that
you
novelty seeking.
Yeah, Mark, I know that you and Nancy had a really great time planning this trip. I'm assuming you're having a good time experiencing this trip. And I think that really, you know, makes for new and different kinds of things. As a whole, you know, you're revisiting something, and you're having a new experience, and you're doing it together, and you're sharing it. So you've got a lot that you know, adds to your relationship.
Well, Jim, I think it's nice to be idealized in that way. You know, because you know,
I think the man is saying, "Are you kidding, Weaver?"
No. I mean, one of the things you might know about Nancy and I is that you know, we're both relatively strong personalities with each other, and so we often have some conflict in the process of planning trips, and I usually start with a small list, and Nancy starts with a giant list, and we end up somewhere meeting in the middle, but it's not always a smooth process, but this actually turned out to be a really relatively smooth process, and the traveling has gone pretty well. We've only had like one or two little moments. So there is. I mean, I think when you do something like this and you sort of come back from it, you know, you have a kind of new set of adventures. And actually, when Nancy and I do these kind of trips, we always kind of start a little tentatively because we don't always know how it's going to be.
Right.
You know, is the place going to be okay? Is the, you know, our plane was delayed 5 hours, so we got in the middle of the middle of the night / middle of the morning, and so you know, it doesn't put you in the best mood to be that tired. So, you know, but you know, you work your way through it. So.
Right. Hey, listen, guys, we've just got 2 minutes to go. Mark, it's actually my birthday today, and it's such a great a birthday present to have you call in, you know, take the time and be here with us today. So I really appreciate that. You know, I'm glad things are going relatively smoothly, and I hope your trip, you know, continues to be great. And I look forward to seeing you when you get back and hearing all about it.
All right, and I'll try to keep my phone charged and call you next week. But also want to wish you a really happy birthday and. It was
great
to say hi to you guys. All right?
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
See ya. Bye-bye
from
China. Zaijian. Zaijian.
Take earplugs, Mark.
What's that, David?
What?
What'd you say?
I was trying to yell a piece of advice to Mark that he get some earplugs.
Oh,
I mean, he's in the bar. He's exhausted in the middle of the bar scene there, and his little pastoral village that he did.
Right.
You know?
Right. So we've got 38 seconds to go, David. Just so you
know. Okay, buddy.
All right, buddy. I'll see you next week. And once again, great to be working with you.
Excellent, and happy birthday to you, lad.
Thank you, sir.
You're finally 35 years old. I think that's just...
It's terrific.
I hope you can manage it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take me